May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing, that we may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. The kingdom of heaven is near. An ideal to live for, and if need be, an ideal for which to die. At his trial in 1964, Nelson Mandela closed his statement from the dock saying, "I have fought against white domination and I have fought against black domination. I've cherished the ideals of democratic and free society in which all persons live together in harmony with equal opportunities. It is an ideal which I hope to live for and to achieve, but if needs be, it is an ideal for which I am prepared to die." And 27 years in prison to struggle with those words. 27 years in which he could have taken his bitterness and his anger against the oppression and become entrenched in violent rebellion. But he never lost his vision. He never lost that hope for a better world, and so he made another choice. He was not a saint. He had his faults. He was quite a politician, but he continued to struggle for transformation. And in 1990, he was released from prison, and in 1993, awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, an honor that he shared with the last apartheid-era president, F.W. de Klerk. And those two men should have been bitter enemies, and they sought peace and reconciliation. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Ibrahim Rasool, the South African ambassador to the United States, when interviewed, discussed his relationship with Mandela when they were both in prison. He said, "I think we all know that he went into prison a fairly militant, angry person. And there he wrestled with his soul. So everything he warns us against are battles he's fought within himself already. When he spoke about managing your anger, it was because he had managed his. When he speaks to you about getting rid of your bitterness, it is because he has exercised his bitterness. And when he speaks to you about reconciling with your enemy, it is because he has learned to do that. Bear fruit worthy of repentance." Because wrestled with his soul, that's what John the Baptist demands of each one of us today. You think you are released from responsibility because you're a child of Abraham? You think you are free from the hard work of the wilderness because you belong to Christ? God can raise up children of Abraham from the stones at your feet. And we do belong to Christ. But because of that, not instead of that, we are called to a time in the wilderness to grapple with our vision, to struggle with our soul to bear fruit worthy of repentance. It is no coincidence that the people have to go out into the wilderness to see John, for he is not in the center of the temple with its orderly ritual. He is not in the midst of well-crafted liturgy in beautiful surroundings. He is not lost in timeless tradition. He is on the margins, the rough edges of town, wearing clothes that make you question and shouting demands that make you worry. He is crying out from the wilderness to break our complacency, to disrupt our comfort, and to bring us back to that place where we first believed in the God of freedom and deliverance. It is in the wilderness that God's people run when they are freed from bondage in Egypt. Death passed over, the waters parted, and they end up wandering the desert. But there they learned obedience and dependence. Great freedom comes with great responsibility. Belonging to God is not easy. It makes high demands, and there are consequences for ignoring that. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. The problem with these words is that they bring up all of our greatest fears. I mean, not any material loss, but the weighty soul things of our being. What can I do? Am I failing? Am I enough? We hear words like repentance and we begin that whole shame podcast. And hearing John talk, I mean, of the one who is to come, who will gather up the wheat and burn the chaff, is of little comfort. And an unquenchable fire is of no comfort. But John is not about comfort. John is about calling us back into the wilderness to reclaim who we are as children of God. God did not free God's people from bondage in Egypt so that they could lounge by the Red Sea. Christ did not bring us into the body of Christ by body broken and blood poured for us to close our eyes to the poor, to segregate ourselves in a life of ease with people who think just like we do. God makes demands. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. For the kingdom is at hand, and God has every intention of us participating in that, of making it flourish from one end of the earth to the other. The peace which Isaiah longs for is going to be hard work. And in that peace, there is no room for violence in Jackson. There is no room for racism that lingers in our city, poverty that smothers our children. We are responsible. We are called to pray, to act, to be God's hands and hearts in this world. We are called to be part of the struggle of transformation, to be the means by which it comes. But ultimately, it is not about fear. It is about hope. For we have a God that cares enough to wander in the desert with us for 40 years, or be in prison with us for 27 years, to be present every wilderness day of our lives. See, for Christmas, we live into the incarnation and know that Jesus came to live among us. And in Easter, we live the crucifixion and know that Jesus came to die for us. And in both, we live the resurrection, knowing that Jesus comes to bring us hope and transformation. We do not struggle in vain or alone. The peace so longed for in Isaiah is a vision worth living for, and if needs be, worth dying for, because God demands it. This is the hope. This is the hope with the power to heal our warring hearts and wounded souls. Bear fruit worthy of repentance, not from fear, not to avoid some unquenchable fire, but because the kingdom is at hand. Bear fruit worthy of repentance from hope. Hope that comes from a soul struggling in the wilderness, hope that quiets our fears, hope that holds us as worthy of repentance because God cares that much. We have a God who cares enough about us to want us to be worthy, who wills us to repent, who loves us enough to demand the struggle. Robben Island, where Mandela was held, is a powerful place because of its history. It is a beautiful, rugged coastline and fascinating twisted trees. Central is this wire-covered cinder block prison. Tiny cells with hard floor mats for sleeping and barren yards, cold, high walls. It is not a place that inspires hope. And yet, we have the stories. 2484, Masami Saifo, our guide and prisoner number 24 from 1984. He remembers the great men that were there when he was there, the great men, he said, that taught us. They taught us about hope and transformation and healing. We have the stories of 466-64, Nelson Mandela, who spent time in the wilderness and turned his anger and fear into hope and achievement. Mandela had an ideal to live for and one he was willing to die for. He never gave up hope. He fought for reconciliation and peace. May we claim that example. May we find that reconciliation and peace in this day and in this place. Bear fruit worthy of repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and we have work to do.